And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Some of you may know that mine was pretty busy because I went to Portland, Oregon this weekend. I had to perform a wedding. The wedding was not in Portland, but it was, I had to fly into Portland. And while I was there, of course, I did a little quick tour of the city. And it was interesting. I found Portland to be a very run-down, dirty place. No insult intended toward the people of Portland. In fact, I posted while I was there, did a little live video, and had somebody who was a supporter say, "I'm in Portland. God bless you." And I was just saying to people, look, this lawlessness, this tearing up property and attacking people and stoking racial division and all of this has just got to stop. It's just got to stop. But I'll tell you something. I looked at the nature of that city. It looked at its character, looked at the way it appears, and thought to myself, this is what the country will look like if Democrats take over. If this Democrat Party, this far-left, Marxist, socialist, communist Democrat Party takes over, this is what the country will look like. It was beat up, run down, boarded up buildings. In other words, it reminded me of a third world country. Now, I'm sure there are pretty parts. And by the way, we didn't stay in Portland. We ultimately went to the coast. We're absolutely gorgeous, by the way, just gorgeous. Rode along the Pacific and just saw some mountainous, forested vistas that just take your breath away. I mean, just beautiful. In fact, I was saying to those in the car with me that, you know, America is just really a wonderful place. You can see almost any type of landscape you want to see in our country somewhere. We are truly blessed. But I'll tell you what, the city of Portland, somehow it seems like they've carved out an oasis of degradation and poverty and misery. I saw tent cities all over the place, you know, homeless people living in tents. I mean, everywhere in the city, along the highways, everywhere you saw tents. So it just not a pretty picture in terms of what their leadership ultimately produces. So it was quite interesting to sweet. By the way, we went to the 7-Eleven where that horrible attack took place on that gentleman, where he was pulled out of his car and kicked and in the head and knocked unconscious, where that very event took place. We went to that spot. In fact, that's where I did the live stream right there. And you could, let's put it this way, folks. It is not a joyful place. It is not a place of vibrancy. It is not a place of life. You know, I've said before that it almost seems like the left is creating a death cult. I heard Nancy Pelosi accuse the president of this, but when these leftists point the finger at someone who does not agree with them, usually what they're accusing them of is the very thing that they're doing. And when you put together the violence that is taking place in inner cities across the country, the absolutely horrendous abortion record that they have of supporting abortion, now gone to the radical point of abortion right up until the moment of birth, virtually, and even to the point where if it was an intended abortion and the child is inadvertently born alive, you can still kill it. Now, that's not a death cult. I don't know what is. It shouldn't surprise us that Jim Jones was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat and an affirmed socialist Marxist. And he led over 900 people to their suicidal death. And all of his support came from the Democrat Party and from the left. That's a fact. Why were they so comfortable with him? And why was he so comfortable with them? Because they're of the same spirit. That's why they're of the same spirit. Well, that's one big thing that's happening, obviously, that continues to happen over time. And, of course, while I was there, there were riots while I was there. Now, we weren't anywhere near the riots, thank God. We passed through in the morning when everything was quiet and peaceful on a Saturday morning. But by Saturday night, it had erupted. And thank God we were nowhere near that. I didn't want to be anywhere near that. Oh, by the way, speaking of eruption, so to speak, I want to ask everybody, pray for our folks in Louisiana and maybe in some parts of Texas. You know, we got a lot of listeners in Texas and Louisiana, and you all call in. And we've got these two storms that are coming your way, presumably. Right now, it looks like Marco is a tropical storm and probably won't become a hurricane. But then there's Laura coming right behind that. So these are coming apparently within 2 days of each other. So we want you all to know in Louisiana and Texas, we're praying for you. And as this thing unfolds, and if you can, call us and let us know how you're doing. Let us know what the situation looks like on the ground there, because we are concerned about you. So we'll be praying for you and ask all of you to pray for all of our fellow Americans in those areas, not just the listeners to AFR, obviously, but I'm thinking of it because I know we do get a lot of calls from people from Louisiana and from Texas. The third thing I'll mention is that the convention is going on. I was listening to the president earlier today, and while I was traveling, folks, I flew through Charlotte, North Carolina, which is where the convention is taking place. I'm a delegate to the convention, but obviously I am not there because only the people who are either officers for their delegation or are members of the platform committee are actually in attendance. That's why it's only about 300 of them. But I was not surprised to hear the president say that when he talked to the Democrat governor of North Carolina about the convention, knowing that 19,000 people were expected, and the governor told him, but only 10, that is, will be allowed in the stadium. Now, folks, the stadium seats 19,000, and he said the governor would not budge. 10 people. This is why people express such skepticism about the politics of COVID-19, that they say, but follow the science, but they're not following the science. There's no way you're going to tell me that 10 people, beyond 10 people in a stadium that seats 19,000 becomes dangerous. Now, come on. And the president said we were willing to compromise, but the governor didn't want to do that. But guess what? I was in the Charlotte airport. I took a picture. I haven't posted it yet. It was jam-packed. Folks, it was jam-packed. There was no social distancing in the Charlotte, North Carolina airport, let me tell you. And I flew on American Airlines, and they do not reserve the middle seats. So the planes were jam-packed full. You know, this is what makes you think that. But then you heard about the NFL, 17 players tested positive. Then they said, oops, ooh, sorry, those were false positives. No, you all didn't really have it. No wonder the American people are so skeptical about this stuff, because we keep hearing things that shake any confidence that we could have in the so-called science that is being reported to us. Now, I'm thinking in Charlotte, wait a minute, the governor has got Charlotte locked down, didn't want to have the convention there, but you got an airport jam-packed full of people who can't possibly social distance in most cases because there's simply too many of them in given areas of the airport. And then you let them sit on planes where they're sitting literally shoulder to shoulder. And then have the nerve to say when it's time to get off, ladies and gentlemen, would you social distance as you get off the plane so that we can do the responsible thing? I'm thinking about you mean social distance as you get off the plane? I mean, you're seated right beside one another. All right, folks, I got a special guest coming up. Stand by. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. A new study from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention documents what we already suspected. The coronavirus pandemic has adversely affected our country's mental health. Correspondent Alexander Nazarian summarizes the findings from a CD survey of 5,400 Americans. More than 4 in 10 respondents reported at least one adverse mental or behavioral health condition. More than 3 in 10 suffered from anxiety or depression. More than a quarter experienced symptoms of traumatic disorder. Many were using drugs or alcohol more heavily or even for the first time to cope with the epidemic. Now, many news reports accurately reported that 11% of the respondents said they seriously considered suicide, but that doesn't give the whole picture. If you look at the chart in the CDC report, you'll notice that more than a quarter of young people considered suicide in the last 30 days. All of these numbers and percentages represent higher levels of psychological distress compared to pre-pandemic levels. Anxiety symptoms, for example, tripled in their incidence compared to the same period last year. Even worse, the incidence of depression or post-traumatic stress disorder quadrupled. Columnist Jennifer Senior wrote about a Kaiser Family Foundation tracking poll showing a majority of American adults believe the pandemic is taking a toll on their mental health. More than one-third of Americans said it was interfering with their sleep. Also, a third said they are overeating or not eating enough. All of this, she concludes, is causing a national slide into a sulfurous pit of distress. I believe the current circumstances provide an opportunity to provide our nation with true hope and encouragement found in the gospel and provided through individual Christian action and church outreach. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
As children across America are going back to school, so are we, with crucial lessons this week to help you be an effective ambassador for unborn babies. If someone opposes reversing Roe v. Wade, tell them this. Roe and its companion case, Doe v. Bolton, legalized abortion throughout pregnancy by including a so-called health exception. The court then defined health as physical, mental, or even economic health, which effectively allows abortion for any reason throughout pregnancy. There are abortion mills that specialize in late-term abortion. If you'd like to have more information on this topic, visit lifeissues.org, then click on the top banner. I've prepared a one-page downloadable document that equips you to change hearts and minds on abortion.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Ryan Fisher here. The gay Gestapo launches an all-out assault on the GOP platform on marriage and sexuality. Will spineless Republicans crumble? What anti-cop rioters in Portland are now bringing with them? What are the lessons from the wildfires in California? And Detroit single-handedly illustrates the chaos of amateur mail-in voting. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And we're back. And by the way, folks, the president has officially been nominated in Charlotte, North Carolina. Of course, we all knew that that was going to happen, right? But it has officially happened. He is officially now the nominee for the Republican Party. For president of the United States once again for re-election. So, but look, my guest is someone that I've known for a long, long time and admired for a long, long time. In fact, our organization honored her with a Stand Award last year because she's one of the people that I have observed who has been taking a stand for righteousness in this country for a long, long time. And we wanted to honor her for it. Star started as a welfare mother without any sense of direction in life. And God got a hold of God and God's word, and to make a long story short, you know, now author and a nonprofit entrepreneur and founder of one of the premier nonprofit organizations in the country that is really making a difference, and a radio commentator, TV commentator, nationally syndicated columnist. And so it just goes to show what God can do and what's possible in this country. And I saw her on Fox this morning dealing with an issue that I was not aware she had taken up or that she was doing anything with. And I thought, oh, wow, that's exciting. That's intriguing. It's interesting. And so those of you who have never met Star Parker or don't know about Star Parker, she's somebody you definitely need to know and follow. And I hope by the time we finish this interview, you will be very interested in finding out a whole lot more about Star Parker and supporting her and whatever she's doing. So, Star, welcome to The Awakening. And knowing you and how busy you are, thank you for taking the time.
Well, I really appreciate it, Bishop EW. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to explain what has happened here at Urban Cure.
Yes.
You know, as you mentioned, that you weren't familiar, and the reason you weren't familiar with this particular campaign is usually here at the Center for Urban Renewal and Education, we just quietly do our work to promote messages of faith, freedom, and personal responsibility in the public square, in public policy, and in poor communities through our clergy center and our network of pastors around the country who are working in these distressed zip codes to try to make a difference with those that are the least of these, that little lost sheep. So we often have projects, and the one that's under attack right now by the Black Lives Matters is one that we believed we should promote in the communities where they had rioting, where the people that live there are already distressed. They have broken schools. They have broken families. They don't have internet. They don't have cable, so they need to get messaging. And so what we did was we put billboards up because we know that this is the best way to reach into the heart of those that are in our most vulnerable communities. So the billboard campaign was really just a simple success sequence. We all know it well. My life is the epitome of it. Most of us know that if you would finish school, take any job, get married, save and invest a little bit of money, and then give back time and talent into your community, that you will not live in poverty in this great country of ours, that you will be able to get a hold of your own life, that these are values that you can take on. These are home truths. These are scientific truths. These are moral truths. Any individual, anybody, any background, even those that are really struggling, can just do these five little things and be successful. So this is our campaign.
And for most of the time in the history of the Black community, that's not even debatable. I mean, nobody would even argue with that.
I could. You know what? Now, you know, very little shocks me because I've been in this business for a while. But this one did throw me back. I was not expecting them to come after. This was not some big controversial thing that then we're trying to go in there aggressively. No, we really went in. Well, I've been teaching these principles for the last 25 years that I've been running Urban Cure. I go into housing projects. I go to churches. This is what we teach. You're right. These are the principles that we have learned to live, and we pass them down through our history. So for Black Lives Matters to come against the company, they went against Clear Channel, who's running them, to force Clear Channel to breach their contract with Urban Cure. Black Lives Matters has adopted Klan behavior. They went to their homes. They listed their phone numbers of the people that work for the Clear Channel. They threatened them with violence in order to get this cancel culture tactic in place in these communities. But you're absolutely right, Bishop, that this is, I just have to fight them on this. I think that not just should Clear Channel not bow their knee to these tactics and breach a contract with me, but I think that it's time that we push up against this Black Lives Matters movement before it gets to the place that they have to vet everything that anyone says before they can advertise into other communities.
And what does that have to do with opposing police brutality, which is, I thought, was supposed to be their primary focus? Why in the world are they saying, what are they saying, don't get married, don't get an education, don't get a job? I mean,
I pushed them back on that. I said, okay, so we know this is everyone. If you finish high school and you just take any job and work harder than the person above you, if you get married, the Bible's clear, two are better than one. You know, you want to complain they don't have enough money for rent? Well, guess what? If you have a one-bedroom apartment that costs you $1,000 and two if you're trying to pay on it, you just brought your rent in half. Save and invest. Why wouldn't you want someone to save and invest a little bit of money? And see, the thing is, it's a part of a campaign. So when you see the billboard where it says Urban Cure / success, they go to that urbancure.org/success and they find a five-book series. This is a serious campaign we've launched. The first one, under Finish School, they would get The Laws of Success by Les Brown. Everybody knows Les Brown. He's the most articulate spokesperson for self-help in the country. If you take on any job, you're going to get a book called Who Moved My Cheese, so that you can understand that life is flexible and you need to be as well. Under Get Married, you're going to find George Gilder's Men and Marriage, the most profound book written on men and marriage in the history of the country, and I mean in the world probably, and I read a lot of Gilder, and I've read a lot on these issues, running Urban Cure, and that's the best one. Save and Invest, the book there is by a guy named Phil Libertore. He's a CPA, and his book is called God, Money, and You, and it's very, very simply written. And then the Give Time or Talent is Michael Hyatt, who used to run Thomas Nelson, and that book is Free to Focus. It's really simple. And Bishop, to top it off, we send the book to the folks for $5, the whole package. We said, if you have come to this website because of you saw that billboard, you're on your way to fulfill your dreams, and we will send you this for $5. And we're even willing to send it for people that say, we don't even have the $5. So this is a deliberate shutdown from Black Lives Matter, and now they're coming after Urban Cure. And people flood us with websites. They're actually having their little threatening toward me for something this simple, for things that you just mentioned that we've been passing through generations for years, for decades.
Of course. I mean, I tell people all the time, I'm not conservative because the Republican Party told me to be. I'm conservative because it's the way my dad raised me. It's the values that I was instilled in with as a young man. Look, how can people support what you're doing? Because I think this is a tremendous thing, because it's exactly what the community, what the Black community particularly needs to hear. While they're hearing all these messages of victimization and you can't make it. White supremacy. I mean, so this is what they need to hear. How can people help you to get that message out?
Well, if they go to urbancure.org, it is financed by the people. We don't take government. This is a 501c3. You get a tax deduction. And the reason that I really appreciate this and resources additional is because I want to get a lawyer. I do want to fight them on this. I want to run these billboards all over the country. They're forcing them to take them down, not just out of Milwaukee, which is where this all started, but we have them running in Philadelphia and in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and they're making the company take them down everywhere. And the challenge is that Clear Channel is the one who basically controls the billboards in our hardest hit zip codes. So if they force them to bow down to their whims, then that means I can't get that message to these people at all. And like you're saying, this is what your dad taught, but we're trying to talk to the ones that don't have a dad. We're trying to let them know that even with your set of circumstances, you can still make it, and here's how. And so for them to go against that, you know what they narrated? We control, this is what we have the thread from Black Lives. We control the messaging. We control the narrative. This is priceless. This is what they wrote to Clear Channel, shaking them down to not allow us to put this message. So I would really love for people to help us so that not only can we have Clear Channel reconsider their decision to breach the contract by getting a lawyer, but also to run these billboards in even more communities so that people can get set free. Because like you're saying, these are time throughout history principles, and they're certainly in the scripture. And the scripture that's on the billboard accompanying these five principles is the scripture of Proverbs 10:4, to tell them, look, if you work hard, God is going to bless that.
Amen. Amen. Well, look, Star, you have a pledge for me and my wife to help out with this campaign, because I just think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. And my organization, my church, is going to get behind you as well, because this is exactly what we need, particularly at a moment when people are so confused by the garbage that they're hearing. So people just need to go to Urban Cure. Is it urbancure.org.com
urbancure.org And if they'll mention that they heard me here, then I can really appreciate that as well, and let you know that this is from EW. And I appreciate that, because you're right, this is our turn to talk to the hearts of those that really need us to show up. They're being used as pawns in their communities. They don't even know what has happened to them. They woke up with a headache to say, what in the world? We saw them crying on TV that they had burned down their local stores. They don't have anything. And those teenagers, they only need to know these five principles, and they will be successful in this wonderful country.
Star, God bless you for what you're doing. Keep up the good work, and we're behind you 100%. I'm going to encourage our listeners to help you out in every way they can. Folks, Star Parker here on The Awakening. All right, God bless you, Star. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Faith. Yes, faith. How much that word has shaped our world. How many lives have grown into personhood because of faith? What is faith? A man answered that question 2,000 years ago. He said that faith is the assurance that something we want will come to pass. He said that faith is to be certain of things which we can't even see. Faith is when one dares to go farther than he can see, to be willing to trust without any evidence that he should trust. How much faith does a person need? Well, that question also has been answered. It was answered by a Galilean carpenter as he stood on the Mount of Olives and taught his disciples. He said if we had faith as small as a tiny mustard seed, that it would be enough to work miracles. What has faith done for people? Well, it's put a song in their hearts. It has brought sight to their eyes. It has put movement into their muscles and joy into their lives. Faith has founded empires. It has established principles. It has changed the world. Those who have accomplished the most for mankind have been people of faith. Faith? Faith in whom? Faith in God, first of all, for He's the author of faith. And without faith in Him, all else loses its high purpose. Faith in ourselves next. This, too, is of utmost importance. And if you have faith that you can, then you'll find a way, and the whole world can't stop you. And faith also in our fellow man. This faith will be shaken often, and even broken at times. But you must never lose it. Because if faith in your fellow man dies, then your hope for a better world dies also. Above all, remember that God has faith in you. That's the reason behind the cross. That's the purpose of the empty tomb. He has faith that you will choose the highest, the best, the purest. Don't ever lose this wonderful thing we call faith, for life is dull and void and ugly without it. So keep faith in God, in yourself, and in your fellow man. Faith will pull you up when you're down. Faith will heal your wounds when you're hurt. Faith will help you extend a helping hand to a brother who has wronged you. And faith will heal the sickness in your heart. Seek out faith. Find her. Pay whatever price is asked for her. And let her be your constant companion on the road of life. She'll make you richer than all the money the world has.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, we're back. And folks, I would just encourage you all to encourage Star Parker. She really is a tremendous leader for the values that we as Christians believe in. And she's been fighting, and just as I have and some others have, but I have to say she has been, forgive the pun, she has really been a star, you know, in trying to help Americans of African ancestry in our country to realize the opportunities available to all Americans, regardless of skin color, regardless of background, and to make the most of those opportunities, to take advantage of them rather than wallowing in the past, which is what the left tries to get everyone to do, wallow in the past rather than looking ahead to the future. And we're seeing exactly what it produces. I think I may have shared this analogy with you all before. Some of you may be hearing it for the first time, but it just never leaves me. You know, the first Zorro, the Antonio Banderas Zorro, the Mark of Zorro, where he's dealing with Don Alessandro, I think the guy's name is, the character's name is, and Don Alessandro is plotting to buy all of California to rule it himself. And he is doing that by a secret gold mine that he has that he's going to use to buy it from who was the warlord. His name will come to me, but the warlord who was basically in charge of really that territory, kind of ruling it by military command, and he's going to buy it from him. And Antonio Banderas finally has this secret plot revealed when he takes him to the mine that he has, where all the gold is being assembled. And it is a horrible place with people in rags and starving and slaving in the mines and carrying on their shoulders, you know, buckets of dirt. And it's a horrible, horrible sight. And the Antonio Banderas character, the Zorro character, says to him when he looks up and sees all these people, many of whom have been, by the way, captured against their will and made slaves in the mine. He looks up and says to him, "So this is what you have in mind for California." And Don Alessandro looks back at him and says, "This is my vision. Yes." And, you know, that scene always comes to mind when I think about what these leftists are doing, because they promote it as if they've got this great grand scheme. But when you look at the misery and the poverty and the violence and the mayhem and the murder that their so-called vision produces, you just think, how blind do you have to be to see that no human being wants the vision that you have in mind? No normal human being, I should say. No thinking human being. No human being who is not deeply deceived wants the vision that you have in mind. That's what they're offering to us. And it's horrible. But that visit to Portland kind of, it sparked in me again just how dark the vision is. That's what people are saying about their convention, that it was very dark. But it is. It's a very dark, demonic, death-inducing, cult-like vision. And it's nothing that anybody should want. In fact, it just goes to show how deeply deceived they are, that they think that America is going to be better off when they can run things. Nothing could be further from the truth. Did you see that the Portland rioters, for example, built a mock guillotine and laid the flag across the base of the guillotine? Now, think about the symbolism of that. First, the guillotine, which, of course, was used in the French Revolution, and they literally killed tens of thousands of people, beheaded. It was a bloody, horrid affair. And Robespierre turned out to be a monster. And they built a mock guillotine and laid the American flag across its base. What does that tell you about their plans for this country and the fact that the Democrats held a convention and never once denounced this stuff, never once said we're proud of our flag, never once said we're proud of our country, never once said we have problems, but we're going to solve those problems. Our way of solving them is not the same as what the Republicans have in mind. We believe that our way is imminently better, but we have a country that is worthy of our respect and worthy of our pride. And no, nothing like that. Nothing like that. No denunciation of this kind of stuff. So they lay the flag on the base of the guillotine and then set the flag on fire. And so, you know what that means to me is that they want to destroy the United States of America. When you put the flag on a guillotine and then you set the flag on fire, it means they want to burn America to the ground. They want to drop the guillotine on America's neck. They want to destroy our country. I mean, how else can you read that? And I don't see any political leaders other than conservatives denouncing that behavior. I don't see them saying that's beyond the pale. That's not what we want for our country. I don't see them saying we don't want that when you think about it, really, you could also argue, and I think quite accurately, that that is a threat to every patriot. To everyone who loves that flag, that is a threat to us, that that's what they think needs to happen. Our necks need to be put on the guillotine. So we've got some issues. A couple of other stories, and I want to take your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. These D.C. protesters, Black Lives Matter protesters, apparently have taken to harassing people who are eating outside. You know, many of these restaurants have no inside dining. People are eating outside. They have taken to harassing people who are dining outside, calling these dining spots white spaces. Yeah. I mean, what is wrong with these people? So what if you're dining outside now, you're in a white space? Only Americans of European descent dine outside? I mean, you just see, I point all this out to say you can't make sense of this stuff because it doesn't make sense. This is just pure evil. But they're harassing these people and calling them names. And of course, some people respond. But some people even, you know, yeah, that's right. You know, thinking that, you know, they're going to get their approval. You know, these are useful idiots. These people just don't understand. They really don't. They don't understand that if folks who think like this ever took over, the very people who think they're down with the struggle would be among the first to go. Well, how do you know that? Because Stalin did it. Lenin did it. Mao did it. Fidel did it. Anybody who dares to think independently, even if they appear to be on their side initially, was done away with. They either escaped or they were killed. And in some cases, of course, imprisoned for the rest of their lives. But no dissent is brooked by these folks. And you can see that happening now. In fact, they're doing it now. They're doing everything that they can. You see how they're censoring. Twitter's got the unmitigated gall to censor what the president says about COVID-19 because they think it's misinformation. Who elected them? By the way, I was at a meeting and I heard Charlie Kirk say this. I've said it myself. And he said, and it was a conservative audience, he said, and you know, this is going to make some people perhaps uncomfortable. He said, but I think we're going to have to come to grips with the fact that these big tech companies are going to have to be broken up. Because, and I've called them in many states. He said, because this is not like a coal company. This is not like an oil company. This is not even like a software company like Microsoft, even though they've got a lot of power. But these are people who are actually controlling the flow of ideas and the information which people have access to. And they're controlling it by the millions, I mean, tens of millions of people in this country. And I think imagine this. Imagine the telephone company telling you that if you leave a message for someone you call that they don't like, they're going to stop the message from going through. You say, well, you can't do that. But to me, this is the equivalent of that, because this is a major means of communication in our nation today. All right, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. When we come back, we'll take your calls.
America has seen her share of changes in recent years. Thankfully, some of those changes are for the better, but others bring us much concern. And to be concerned is a good start for us, but it's only a start. The AFA Journal is the magazine for people who are not only concerned about the direction our nation is headed, but they're determined to do something about it. The AFA Journal, online and in print. Visit afajournal.org today.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to register for a free sneak preview.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is coming soon. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
Dads and moms bring clearly different things to the equation.
Dr. Robert Hamilton on Focus on the Family Minute.
Study after study has shown that when you have a father engaged in a family, those children do better. They thrive. If you have a father who's, I'm not talking about a father who shows up and is mute and doesn't engage his kids and goes and watches television after dinner. I'm talking about fathers who actually take an interest. And by the way, I will tell you that I have thousands of wonderful fathers in my practice who really do. There are people who really, you know, dads love their children as much as mothers do, of course. But when they're involved, the kids do better. Mm-hmm. And because it's a complementary thing, you kind of need both. You need a mom and you need a dad.
As a mom or a dad, you offer different but equally important things to your child. More from Dr. Hamilton at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. There's a lot going on, folks. I just want to give you an opportunity to talk about whatever is on your mind. One other thing I'd add, Hollywood Boulevard is going to be closed in California so that an LGBT-themed, all Black Lives Matter mural can be painted. Now, don't ask me what an LGBT-themed, all Black Lives Matter mural is or looks like, but they're saying that it is going to be, we are creating the first memorialized space in Los Angeles dedicated to transgender people of color. Lord help us. I mean, folks, this stuff just gets crazier and crazier. But you know what? We're going to emerge on the other side stronger than we've ever been before. I believe that. Okay, let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Lynn, welcome. Lynn, are you there? Okay. Lynn, are you there?
Yes. I don't know if you said my name before, but I couldn't hear it on this phone.
Anyway, fine.
Okay. I was had just come home the other day, was still in my car, and I just got a different phone, which has, I didn't set it up, but when you're driving, it turns off calls and stuff. But anyway, I got a phone call, which I normally wouldn't answer because I didn't know the number, recognize the number, but I did. I had a reason why I did. And a voice came on and said, "You need to stay home," just like that. It was not a human. It was like a robocall type of thing, but it sounded like a threat.
Do you think it was about COVID, Lynn, or something else?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, because I am over Social Security age. You know, if they're trying to, like, scare people or something.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
But it was really weird. I've never gotten anything like that. It's always been some kind of advertising or something.
Well, listen, Lynn, thank you for the call. I would say this. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. You go on with your life and live it as normally as you can, taking into consideration the fear of other people. And don't let these stupid phone calls throw you. But thank you for the call, Lynn. Let's go to Wayne in Mississippi. Wayne, welcome. Oops. Wayne, you're on. Welcome.
Yes, sir, Bishop. I always like to enjoy listening to you, brother. I'd like to make a comment, Bishop, about Revelation King James Bible. Yes, sir, in Revelation 18, it talks about the great city of Babylon. And this is with the Jewish people that are in Babylon. And her sins have reached up to heaven. The church has already taken out, Revelation 4, verse 1. Well, it goes on. It talks about my people, John wrote. The children of Israel. There's no more country got more Jewish people in it. I love the Jewish people than the state of New York. Over 8 million people. Yes, sir. It tells exactly how Babylon will be destroyed. God took and gave us to me and guided me by the Holy Spirit over 16 years ago.
And Wayne, let me be clear. So you think that New York is the Babylon the Bible speaks of?
Yes, sir. I believe America is, brother, because it talks about her riches. So great riches in 1 hour come tonight.
All right, Wayne. Well, Wayne, listen, that's an interesting eschatological interpretation of the scripture. But since we don't really have time to get into that very deeply, we're going to move on. But Wayne, I'll tell you what, I don't believe that America is the Babylon. And there are different theories about this. I just don't think that America is the Babylon. I think that America could become the Babylon if we allow ourselves to be led by this leftist into this godless moral relativism that they want for this country. But as long as there are people here, Wayne, like you and me and all of our listeners and others across this land, I don't believe God is going to see this country as that Babylon. And I hope I am absolutely right about that. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Wayne. Let's go to Mark in Texas. Mark, welcome.
Yes, Bishop. Good morning from Texas. I'm your good number morning. One fan from the Philippines.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, I spoke to a pastor friend of mine regarding the omission of under God from the Pledge of Allegiance by the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And he told me that the reason probably is that the original Pledge of Allegiance did not contain under God. So what is your take on that?
Yeah, they're right. It was added, I believe, under Eisenhower's administration, in part, obviously, because of the threat that we face worldwide. And the importance, since historically we'd always acknowledge God, the importance of acknowledging God, and it was placed into the Pledge of Allegiance. It's been there ever since. And, of course, leftists have been trying to get it out ever since. Let me say this, and thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much, Mark. I've said before, America has no official religion, and we shouldn't have. We don't want that because then who's going to enforce what that official religion is? We want the government doing that? Of course not. But having said that, America culturally is a Christian nation. That's just the reality. And so, for example, when George Washington added, "So help me God," to his oath of office for the presidency, it was not written in the oath itself. He added that. And it's become a tradition that every president since has followed. Why? Because we are a culturally Christian nation. They didn't write that into the oath itself, but it found its way in because of who we are. So, and you could make the same argument about the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, it didn't originally have one nation under God in it, but we've always been a godly people. We've always been a people. The Muslims would call us a people of the book. The president was trying to deny that, to try to make friendly with Muslims, particularly in Turkey, when he spoke and said, we're not a Christian nation, but we are a Christian nation culturally. And I think anybody who denies that is just, they don't, it's wishful thinking. They don't want us to be a Christian nation, but we are, and we always have been. And in fact, I've said what we've got to begin to do, we have to begin to assert that aggressively again. No, we're not, we don't have an official religion, but culturally we are a Christian nation. We're not ashamed of it. We're not apologizing for it. We're not Hindu. We're not Buddhist. We're not atheists. We're not Hare Krishnas. We're a Christian country. We have a Christian culture. And so, you know, whenever it was added, it should never be taken out. In God We Trust was put on the money at the very beginning. Why? I think because our founding fathers wanted to remind all of us that we don't put our trust in money. We put our trust in God. So, but thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Thomas in Texas. Thomas in Texas, welcome.
Hi, thank you. My question is, since you make come in contact with a very diverse group of people from Democrat, Republican, and different ethnicities, do you see a backlash from the African-American community that may be talked about and also not talked about on both sides about Black Lives Matter? And do you think if President Trump is elected again that he might consider it a domestic terrorist organization?
Well, those are two questions, and I appreciate them both, Thomas. Whether it's a domestic terrorist organization, whether the president will consider it to be a domestic terrorist organization, you know, I don't know whether he'll go that far. I will tell you, I think he should, because I think it is. I think it's a subversive organization. I think that it is an organization that is not only violent, but I think that their ideology seeks to overthrow the legitimate government of the United States. I think that's really what they're up to. In fact, I think there ought to be an investigation to see whether some of them, particularly their funders and whatnot, should be prosecuted. Because if they're getting together and paying for incitement of riots around the country, that's a felony, and they should be prosecuted for it. And if they're trying to overthrow the legitimate constitutional government of the United States, that is treason, and they ought to be persecuted. I mean, they ought to be prosecuted for it. So, that's on that. Is there a backlash in the Black community? I think there is. I don't think it's very large yet. But I think every time a Black person loses a child and hears the silence of Black Lives Matter, the message comes through loud and clear. Your kid doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is if we can pin a death on the cops, because we're using the cops to further our Marxist ideology, and your child can't help us do that. So your child is dead. Too bad. Moving on. That's a sad, horrible attitude that they have toward truly, truly innocent Black lives, the lives of unborn children. And I think there is a growing awareness that that Black Lives Matter is not about saving any lives. It's about destroying America. Thank you for the call, Thomas. Let's go to Andy. Andy, you're going to be last. Andy in West Virginia. Andy, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. Just a quick thought. In Joe Biden's speech, when he said no miracle was coming, what if every Christian in earshot of this diligently prayed for a miracle to end COVID? Wouldn't that put a big kink in the plans?
Hey, Andy, you know, man, you took the words right out of my mouth, because when I heard him say that, I thought to myself, you godless little thing. You know, I mean, this guy, you know, no miracles coming. I mean, just dissing God. And yes, I agree with you. I think every Christian ought to be praying for a miraculous end to this thing, and to God be the glory for it. So thank you so much for the call, Andy. Thanks, everybody. God bless each and every one of you. I love you. We at AFR love you. Thank you all for your prayers and your support. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.